God has, and I love this statement, God has a plan for every life in this world. Nobody has ever breathed a breath of life, but what God had a plan for that life. Now, by that, you say, yeah, I mean, God wanted somebody to be a preacher, somebody to be a plumber. I'm not talking just about that. God had a plan for every year and every month and every week and every day and every minute and hour and every minute and every second of every life that's walked on the face of this earth. Now, that means, ladies and gentlemen, that God has a plan for you. I've said this so often, but you're no uh-oh in the mind of God. God didn't look down one day and see you and say, I wonder who he is. I've got to find something to keep him busy so he'll keep out of trouble. No, that isn't at all. You are on purpose. Now, your mom and dad may not have wanted another baby, but you are on purpose. And they may have been disappointed when they heard you were coming, or they may have been disappointed when they saw you after you got here. But nevertheless, you're no uh-oh with God. You are on purpose with God. God creates life, and God has a plan for every single life. These deaf folks back here, God has a plan for them, and a plan for every life. These rescue mission men up here, God has a plan for their lives. Now, we don't always fit in that plan, but God has a plan for every life. Also, God, then, has a work for every person. God has a work for you to do. And no one else can do that work like you can do it. I don't know of anything that encourages me more than that. Did you know that Billy Sunday could not have pastored this church as I can pastor this church? Now, I'm not being cocky. I'm being honest that it wasn't God's will that Billy Sunday pastored this church in 1981. It was God's will that Jack Hiles do it. Did you know that the smallest country church down in the hills of Kentucky, did you know I cannot pastor that church as well as somebody else can pastor that church for whom God has made for that task? Now, also, there is nobody in this world who can do the job that you can do like you can do it. For God made you on purpose, and God made you for a specific task, and no one else can do it. That means if each of us, now follow me carefully, if each of us has a unique task that no one else has to do, and that we can do better than anybody else, that means that each of us must be uniquely prepared for that task. That means that though we might go to the same college, we may go to the same school, we may be in the same church, there is a unique preparation that God has for each of us because each job is the same. This is no assembly line. God has a unique task for every single individual. And since he does have unique tasks, he prepares each of us uniquely in a way that he does not prepare anybody else. Now, follow me carefully now. That means, now hear me carefully. Are you listening? That means that God puts you in the very family he wants you to be in. Now, hear me now. God gave you the dad that you needed, hear me, in order that you may be prepared for the unique task that is yours on this earth. God gave you the very mother. You can talk when you get through. God gave you the very mother that you needed. Now, she may not have been the best mother in the world. And the truth is, she may have forsaken you when you were just a child. And it may be that you don't even know where she is. And it may be that you've never even seen your mother. But God, having a task for you before you were ever saved, God was girding you for that task. There was something uniquely for you to do, and that means that God prepared you uniquely for that task. That means that God put you in the house. You're born in the house where God intended you to be born, because God knew that if you were going to do what he wanted you to do, you had to get born in that house. And the neighborhood you were born in and reared in, God put you there because God had a job for you to do someday, And being in that particular neighborhood uniquely prepared you and suited you for that job. Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this purpose came I into the world. You don't want to know who the successful person is in the world? Person makes a lot of money? No. Person that has a good education? No. Person that gets popular? No. Person has power? No. The successful person is the person who can look at himself in the mirror and look at what he's doing and say, for this cause came I into the world. And for this purpose I was born. Look at me. Look at me here. I'm standing behind the pulpit of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. For this cause came I into the world. For this purpose was I born. Now, you have a call. It's not your cause to stand in 1981 in November behind the pulpit of First Baptist Church of Hammond. And you try to do it, I'm going to punch you in the nose. But it's not your cause. But listen to me. You have a reason in life. Esther, instead of Esther. Who knows? But what you came in the kingdom for such an hour as this. Now, King Cyrus was the king that was going to let the people of God go back to the promised land. He, after their punishment ended, God raised up King Cyrus. And God said to King Cyrus, before you knew me, before you were converted, I girded thee. I prepared you before you were converted. Now, if I have a job to do, and if God, before I was ever saved, if God was getting me ready for that job, then there are several observations. One is, I must glory in my past. I must glory in my past. And you have need to glory in your past. Oh, you say for that. You ought to see the neighborhood where I came from. Man alive. You mean glory? Yes, sir. Listen. I'm a little tired of people complaining because they don't turn out right and giving everybody the blame to themselves. I'm a little tired of people saying, well, if my mama had loved me, I wouldn't be like this. You have no right to be like that even if your mama didn't love you. My Bible says that every man must give account of himself to God. Oh, but you say, Brother Howe, my daddy never took me to a ball game. And that's why I turned out bad. Don't you sit there and tell me that, you liar, you. That's not why you turned out bad. You turned out bad because you turned out bad. A lady said the other night, she said, Brother Howe, the reason I'm like I am is I don't have any character. I said, then get it. Get it. Available right now. Yeah. I'm a little tired of folks that, you know, I have, right on the side of my head, I have knots there. I started to grow horns, but I got right with God, and now I have wings instead. And right on the side of my head, my head is really a bit oddly shaped, and that's one reason why I'm hoping to keep at least a part of it covered the rest of my life. But anyway, you know why it's like that? My mother forgot to give me cod liver oil when I was a baby. And that's why, Mother, it's all your fault, because I got horns. And the doctor said, Jack needed more cod liver oil and Costal. You didn't, and we couldn't afford cod liver oil. And so we didn't know anybody had any we could steal it from, and we just couldn't get it. And so, but that's why I'm like I am. Now, don't you hide behind that. In this old days when psychologists are so popular and psychiatrists are so popular, that they tell us why we're like we are. Well, we know you're a thief and a crook and a robber and a drunk and on dope, but it's not your fault. Let me figure out why you're like you are. It's because your daddy didn't take you to see the Cubs. Now, that made you worse than you are. But it's because of your neighborhood. And now they even tell us that let's be sure now and give everybody welfare, because if folks don't have jobs, then they'll riot and they'll cause trouble. You're not supposed to riot, job or no job. And this heathen world that denies the Word of God and tries to use human psychology and human psychiatrics and human philosophy as an excuse for sin. My Bible still thunders out, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. My Bible still thunders out, be sure your sin will find you out. My Bible still thunders out, each man must give account of himself to God. So, if God had a job for me, and if God wanted me to do that job, then God was preparing me, Dr. Evans, by the place that I was born. I'm glad I was born in La Texas. And I hate to say this because my father was an alcoholic, but I'm glad that Willis Athey Hiles was my father. And I'm glad that Costal Natty Hiles was my mother. I wish her parents had given a little better name than that, but I'm glad that Costal Natty Hiles was my mother. And I'm glad I grew up in the Depression. And I'm glad that we had a wood stove. And I'm glad that we had a kerosene lamp. And I'm glad that we lived in poverty. And I'm glad that I owned my first pair of shoes that were mine when I was 14 years of age. And I'm glad that I was rich. I wouldn't trade my background for anybody's background. I'm glad. You say, why? Because God knew that in 1981, or 1959, and up to 1981 at least, God knew that somebody needed to go to the great Chicagoland area. Because there are thousands and hundreds of thousands of little boys and girls there that have daddies that are alcoholics. And God knew that thousands and thousands of little boys and girls who lived in poverty and didn't have any shoes of their own and no clothes but hand-me-downs and not enough food to eat and nobody that loved them very much. And God needed somebody to go to Chicago and to pastor a great church like this to send buses and Christians all over the Chicagoland area to do what we can to encourage the hearts of these poor people and tell them that Jesus loves them and died for them and to smile at them and help them and reach down a helping hand. And so I'm not complaining about my past because God was girding me back in those days. God was getting me ready for my job. Don't complain about your past. Your past was a tool in the hand of God that He may prepare you and chisel you and frame you so that you may do that thing that God sent you into this world to do. So, I'm glad. I don't like to say this, but I'm glad that I was reared in a broken home. I'm talking to some children today, teenagers especially, and you're giving your mother a hard time because your dad's gone and your mother's rearing you alone, or vice versa. And you never dad. Everybody else has one. Everybody else does this. Everybody else has a car. Everybody else has a Honda. Everybody else has a motorcycle. Everybody else has new clothes. Everybody else has a fur trimmed coat. What you better do is you better shut up straight and hear me. You better say thank God for what the providence of God has brought my way, because God has a job for me to do, and God is getting me ready to do that job. Stand up tall and be thankful that you have a past that is poor. Stand up tall. Be thankful for your poor mother who's trying to do what she can to rear you for God and to keep food on the table. Stand up tall and point to your mother and say, I want you to see that woman. That woman has sacrificed for me. That woman's done without for me. She has no husband to help rear me. She has no husband to bring home a check. And that woman works by day and works at home by night. Stand up tall. Be proud of that mother who sacrifices to give you what you have and make you what you are. Don't be ashamed of your past. Cyrus, before you were saved, before you knew God, He was girding you. He was preparing you. And before you knew God, He was preparing you also. I want to say the second thing. Because God has a plan for me. And because God has a plan for you. And because God gives us the circumstances in our lives. Let me say this. I'm glad to have Russell Anderson this morning. If you knew Russell Anderson's past, you wouldn't believe it. I won't tell you all his past. I know some awful things he's done. And for a fee, I'll not mention it tonight in the service. But Russell Anderson was a coal miner for years. And Russell Anderson was in poverty for years. Now, I wonder why God put Russell in that kind of background. I don't know why. Because God knew that somebody with some means would help people that didn't have means. And so God allowed him to identify himself with a certain type of living that he does not have now in order that he might not squander his money or selfishly keep his money and stack it up. God was girding him and preparing him, though he did not know that. So I'm not going to complain because of my past. I'm going to rejoice because of my past. Also, I have no excuses. No excuses. If everything that happened to me in my early days was planned by God, I have no excuses. Some fellows say, I would have turned out right, but it's Mom's fault. Oh, I tell you, I would be honest at school, but my dad didn't teach me character. Or it's the school's fault that I didn't turn out right. You see, that basketball coach out there doesn't like me. Well, I wouldn't either. But he doesn't like me. It's the school's fault. It's the youth department's fault. They didn't have... Listen, I want to tell you something. If you started in the public school in the ghetto of New York City, and if your dad was a bartender and your mom was a prostitute, and if you never saw a Christian school, and if you never had a church that had a youth activity, you are still going to answer to God for yourself. Of course, a Christian school helps. Of course, a good church helps. Of course, folks that love you help. But those are only things that make you more accountable. You're still supposed to serve God. You're still supposed to do God's plan. And you have no right to complain about your circumstance. But you say, Brother House, my mother wasn't close to me. Or I went to a Christian school and it turned me off to religion. You sorry, good-for-nothing pagan heathen, you. Blaming a Christian school because you turned off religion. You look in the mirror and blame yourself. Well, the rules were so strict and I was held down. When I got out in the world, I just wanted to have a fling. Now, you listen to me. My Bible says every man must give account of himself to God. You're not in sin because the rules for Tuesday. Or some little pagan says, well, I've been reared in a strict home. Oh, these heathen psychiatrists like to talk like this. And these heathen psychologists like to facade their wickedness with this. And reared in a home that was too strict and didn't ever get to see the world and didn't know all about life. And so when they finally got out of the influence of that home, then they went wild. It's not my fault. My Bible says you train up a child in the way that he should go. We're not supposed to serve you liquor for breakfast in the high school so you know what liquor tastes like someday. We're not supposed to give you a pagan, heathen, sex education. That's Mom and Dad's job to give you sex education anyhow. No school's business. No Christian school. No public school. No Christian high school. No Christian college's business to teach you sex education. That's Mom and Dad's job. Oh, but you say, I was so suppressed that when I got out, I went wild. I can show you folks that were suppressed like you were when they got out, they behaved themselves too. I have no excuse, but you say for that. I would have turned out okay, but nobody loved me. What in the world are you talking about? The one loves you who is love. God is love. God loves you. How dare you sit there and say, I'm not going to turn out right or didn't because nobody loved me when the great God who is the resource of all love loves you. God said, I girded you before you knew me. Though thou hast not known me, I girded thee. That means I must glory in my past. That means I have no excuses. Thirdly, it means I have no complaints about the present. We whine too much about what we miss in life. We just whine too much. What we miss in life. God is preparing me for the future. Sure, there's some things I miss in life. Sure, there's some things I've missed in life. But man, nobody can get it all. You know, one of the most important sermons I ever preached here is that sermon I preached on Sunday morning on 9 out of 10 isn't bad. 9 out of 10 isn't bad. You just take all the potential good things of life and life. I'm talking about a happy home, a happy childhood, a happy marriage, a good school, money, and a nice house, and as to all these things. If you get 7 or 8 of those, you're far better than most of the people in this world are. I have no complaints about the present. Sure, there's some things I would have chosen. But listen, brother, I'll gladly forfeit any of those things in life that we consider as positive needs. I'll gladly sacrifice any of those to be used by my God. And if God wants to take from me or make me miss one of those things that we feel are necessary for happiness and physical human comfort in order that He might gird me and use me, hallelujah, I'm glad to sacrifice them if I can be used and if I can fulfill the purpose for my existence. Well, how? I grew up broken home. Understand that. And I'm not sorry for you. Because the truth is, if God put you in that home, it may be that God is preparing you for a job that needed somebody who grew up in a broken home. God is preparing. I have no right to whine. You have no right to whine. Listen, why don't we just decide this morning never to complain again? Just never to complain again. Never. Complaining is atheism to a degree. It is saying that if there is a God in heaven, He's not able to make things work out okay for me. What is okay for you? Okay for you is doing the thing that God prepared you for. And in getting you to that purpose in life, God girds you even before you get saved. College student wife came to me the other day. Whining and whining. Well, how? You know what I gave up. I gave up a beautiful house. Yeah. Bunch of wood stuck together with nails. Wow. I gave up a car of my own. Honey, you listen to me. God will prepare you for something great if you'll quit your griping. Don't you understand these things? 48 hours ago, less. A lady said, nothing has turned out right since we got here. Brother, if you're in the will of God, everything turns out right. You just got the right turnaround or all screwed up. That's all your trouble is. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And so I must glory in my past. I have no excuses for my failures. I have no complaints about the present. Because even the present is being used by God to prepare me for something in the future. Who was I talking to? Oh, Dr. Streeter. Dr. Dennis Streeter and I were talking. He said, Brother Hiles, he said, I mentioned the fact that he was a young man, and which means that he's not as old as I am. He said, Brother Hiles, Pastor, he said, I have so much planned for the future. And I said, Dr. Dennis, I too have so much planned for the future. I stood there yesterday afternoon as I married a fine young couple. And as they were standing there waiting for me to perform the ceremony, I said, Dear God, this little girl has been my church. I've been her preacher since she was a little child. Maybe all of her life. And I said, Dear God, let me live long enough to help her rear her family. I got a lot of plans. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. So if God, now hear me carefully, if yesterday God prepared me for today, then today God is preparing me for tomorrow. So, dear God, use what you will. If you'll use me tomorrow, I'll accept what you offer me today. It may not be that it's what I want today. It may not be it's what I prefer today. But if it's what I need today, that you may use me tomorrow, then give me today what you know is best. Gird me today for usefulness for tomorrow. I'll bind you one thing. If you don't have a nice house, and if you do not have the kind of parents that you wish you'd have, or the kind of family situation you wish you'd have, or the kind of car you wish you'd have, or the kind of luxury you wish you'd have, but if God, through those things you did not have that you wanted to have, if God has made it possible for you to fulfill the purpose for your coming into this world, then you are a successful, happy, and fulfilled human being. Cyrus, you didn't know me. You were a heathen king, but I was girding you. Cyrus, I put you in Persia. King of Persia, you weren't even a Jew. You weren't even in the promised land, but I was girding you. Cyrus, you didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I was girding you. Cyrus, every circumstance of your life was planned by me in order that the sum total may give a heart and a mind and a compassion so someday you would do the thing I made you for, and that's let the Jews go back home and build the temple and go back to their homeland. Observation number 4. Not only that, must I glory in my past. I have no excuses. I have no complaints about the present. But observation number 4. I have no cause for discouragement. None. I am so sick of hearing Christians say, I'm just depressed today. Call in. Broadcast time. Prayer time. Christians call in. Say, pray for a Christian lady who's depressed today. Now, folks, I'm not trying to be unkind, but you haven't got any reason to be depressed today. None. I mean, good night. You got a copy of God's book in your house. I mean, you got Jesus in your soul. You got heaven for your home. You got the blessed hope that can take place any minute. You got the Holy Spirit who lives in you. But you say you don't know the circumstances I'm living under. Well, you don't know the circumstances I'm living over. All of us have circumstances. Just get on top side of them. But you say, how do I do it? You do it when you stop to realize that the circumstances of your life have been fashioned by God Almighty. I don't think I enjoyed going hungry when I was a boy. I don't think I enjoyed sitting in church with just my mama when other daddies were in church. I don't think I enjoyed that. I don't think I enjoyed wearing Uncle Harvey's clothes when I was 10. Uncle Harvey was a 200-pound man. I could walk for a block in my britches. They wouldn't even move. I don't think I understood that. I don't think I liked that. And I can't say I always enjoyed every can of yellow hash we got from the welfare. Relief, we called it in those days. I don't think I enjoyed that. I don't think I enjoyed seeing my daddy leave home when I was a boy and wishing he'd stay and live. I don't think I enjoyed that. But I want to serve notice on you. In November 1981, I thank God for every bit of it. Because whatever God has used this little preacher to do, and whatever God has been able to do through and with these stumbling lips, stuttering lips and stumbling feet, it's all been because He girded me before I knew Him. Our Heavenly Father,